This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We're going to talk about a little bit of money here, Christine. A lot of money, actually. At least I used to think it was a lot of money. I'm not even sure anymore, right?
I'm not sure either.
I used to think billions were a lot, but now with the trillions kind of being a regular thing, a few billion doesn't sound like much at all.
Right.
We're throwing these trillions around. So they have this BCM plan. They call it the Big City Mayor Plan.
City Mayor Plan, okay.
13 big city mayors in California asking for some money from the state because they got all this money floating around from the feds.
Right.
So it's just money everywhere for everything. So we're probably going to finish high-speed rail with this money, right? And anyway, they want $4 billion a year to solve the homelessness problem in these big cities. And so I don't even know. Is $4 billion a lot anymore? Is that a big deal?
To me, $4 billion is a lot of money, yeah. Still.
I guess I just feel like I've been beaten up so much about homelessness over the last few years, maybe 20 years, 10 or 20 years, that I'm almost like, okay, just do it. If it would solve the problem, you knew it was going to solve the problem, Christina, would you do it? I mean, would you be for it?
If I knew it was going to solve the problem,
yes. If you knew it was
going
to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I would.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? We don't know if it's going to work. Matter of fact, we probably have some pretty serious doubts.
Well, here's the thing. This isn't the first time that we've tried something like this. We have examples in other cities that have tried this and that have done things over the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. We've been tackling the war on poverty here in America for 50 years. The problem seems to get worse. The more money we throw at the issue, the worse the situation seems to get. In California, the courts tell us we really can't do very much about this situation. We can't hold people accountable. They have to, once they set up shop, they've set up shop and we can't boot them out. We can't take their things. If we take their things, we've got to hold it for 30 days, give them the opportunity. Then we got to go and try and track them down. Because remember, in the city of Fresno, we got sued over all of this. Do you want me to keep going about all the things that we've tried and done that's not really worked? And yet, in the meantime, we've attracted more homeless from other parts of the country to California while releasing inmates, prisoners who can't get housing, end up on the streets. The housing population grows in that respect, too. We do have organizations that do a great job of ministering and helping the homeless, get them off their feet, get them into permanent housing, into a better life. But the courts say that cities can't do that. They can't ask you to do that. They've got to provide something for you that's not religiously based, that asks no qualifications of you, no nothing. And so therefore, we're now in this situation. Yes?
Sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
Yeah.
It is bad.
So like
I applaud people that are working on and trying to fix this situation, like our mayor, like the groups out there that dedicate themselves to trying to help the homeless get into a better situation. In the meantime, it's like kind of like at the border, if you think about it, because it's, you know, we're also, though, attracting people to come to our state because we're doing things to help people, right?
Yeah.
And we're not holding them accountable.
So, next topic.
I mean, it's just yesterday, these big city mayors asked for $4 billion per year over the span of 5 years, $20 billion to take people that, you know, and put them into permanent housing for the next 5 years. And I, you know, they speculate, we found this number, right? Of the 248,000 people local providers reported serving in 2020, 91,000 people, 37% moved into permanent housing. 47% of them, excuse me, remained actively engaged in services or shelter, but were not yet permanently housed. It's like a 50-50 chance, maybe. So we're going to throw $20 billion at this. In the meantime, Elaine Howell, our state auditor, earlier this year in February, released a report that said California has spent $13 billion in the last 3 years to tackle a massive homelessness problem, and we don't know where the money's gone. So we want $20 billion over the next 5 years. We've wasted $13 billion over the last 3 years. I just kind of throw my hands up and I say, like, what? Yeah? Really? I don't know. As you said, I think it's logical to have questions here.
Yeah. Like I say, if I had faith that $4 billion a year for 5 years would solve this problem, I'm all in. But I've got to get some faith here. And like you said, when you bring up this Elaine Howell, our state auditor, her report just from a couple of months ago talking about how we can't track the $13 billion the state has already spent. Now, she recommended they put some things in place. I think they're trying to do that so that they can track this money. But, you know, we got some questions about this, I think, that are worth asking, because what's the goal? You know, when we say solve the homelessness problem, I don't think anybody expects 100%. Do you? I mean, it's not going to be 100%. You're not going to have every person off the street in every city, and we're never going to see another homelessness person out there. So that's not the goal. It's not 100%.
Well, that would be my goal, would be 100%. Because here's the deal, John. If I'm providing you with housing with no strings attached for you to move into, and you're refusing, then I want to see consequences. Like, you can't be here then. You've got to move on to somewhere else, and this is not the place for you.
And what if you don't?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Let me put you on a bus and take you to Florida.
I can't put you on a bus.
I'm
going to
let Florida deal with you.
The judge won't let me put you on a bus. Right? I mean, really, they won't, right? So I tell you that you can't be here anymore, and you go, well, I'm going to stay. So what are you going to do, arrest them? You know how people feel about it?
No, they're not going to arrest you.
So they don't like this criminalizing the homeless stuff, so that's not going to happen. But even if you did, let's say you took them to jail. You know, our jails are crowded because they're closing prisons, right? So we're housing all the people that should be in prisons in our county jail. So there's no place to put them, even if you wanted to arrest them. And even if you wanted to arrest them, I don't think a lot of them care. Say, okay, arrest me. So I'll take a shower and get a few meals, and you're going to let me go. And I'm coming right back here where you arrested me because I don't care. So until you figure out how to handle that problem, there's a certain percentage out there that just don't want to be helped. You know, we've seen this over and over again in city after city. Well, I'm like you. You know, I praise these people that are in this business and trying to really do help people.
Yes.
I think they're great, and I give them a lot of credit. But I don't know that we can solve this problem. I look back, you know, Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco.
Yes.
He vowed to end homelessness in San Francisco in 10 years. Okay, that was in 2004 or 5. He was mayor from 2004 to 2012, I think, something like that. And it didn't happen. It's worse than ever. They spent hundreds of millions a year in San Francisco to try to solve this problem. And Gavin Newsom claims they helped a lot of people, but they never reduced the homelessness population.
Right.
Because whoever they shipped out, more showed up. Right. In L.A., they've tried to solve the problem, and it keeps going up. They passed $1 billion a year deal, didn't they?
Taxes.
$1 billion a year for the homeless, and their homeless population. It's like the more you spend, the more homeless people you get. That's how it seems to me. Now, maybe somebody can straighten me out on that, but I just don't have any faith that throwing money at it's going to work. Now, I'm not saying they won't take some people off the street and get them in a better situation. I'm just saying, if you have 10,000 homeless, say, you'll still have 10,000 homeless. You know, why that is, I don't know exactly. I'm not saying it doesn't help people. Some people will be helped, but you won't reduce your homeless population. I've just asked this. If we spent $4 billion the next year, I'll ask our audience, do you think we will have fewer homeless people in 1 year or more homeless people?
490-5858.
Because that's kind of my question. You know, and, you know, who's in charge? You know, this is mayors. Is this going to be a city deal? But, of course, a lot of the services you need are county things. So are the cities going to be in charge of the county, or are they going to have to work with the supervisors? It's state money. How much is the state? So here we go again. You got the city, you got the state, you got the county. Who's in charge? You know, when you got, and then you got all these non-government agencies you're giving the money to do this. Who's going to coordinate? Who's going to track the money, just like Elaine Howell's deal? Who's going to track the money? And what is the goal? Okay. And what if we don't hit it? Then is there any consequences to not hitting the goal? Like you said 100%. Well, that's not going to be the goal.
Well, I know.
But let's make it 50%.
No, that's too little.
Okay. But I'm just saying, let's just pick a number for the sake of conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say it's 50%. What happens if you don't hit it? What are the consequences of not hitting the goal?
Then I would say you have to pay it back. Whatever you got.
The city?
As a city, you county? Have to pay back. If you can't meet your goal, you know, you have to pay it back. Because we've thrown, billions upon billions of dollars at trying to help people living on the streets, get them off of the streets, help them. Mental health, we've spent, in LA County, they've got, a quarter of a cent on the dollar sales tax added for mental health services for the homeless. So on top of the $1.2 billion a year they committed to getting the homeless off the streets, they've also got a quarter cent sales tax added to their sales tax to help them with mental illness. We're spending lots of money trying to help people and be compassionate here. And there are people that are using that. I'm not saying that they're not. There are people that are using that. But for those that aren't, I am sorry. My love and compassion for you is done. I am sick and tired of looking at the sides of the freeways and seeing tent cities or empty lots in my neighborhood becoming tent cities for people. There is a service available to you. There are hotel rooms available to you. And if you say no, I need you gone. My love and compassion is now lost.
Okay, let's say I'm the homeless guy there, Christina. I refuse the services. I'm camped on the side of the road. You see me every day and you want me gone, but I'm not leaving. What are you going to do about it?
I know. I don't know what I...
You can't do
I don't know what I can do about it. And you know what? I don't think that putting you in the jail is the right spot for you either.
I know, but even if you put
me in jail...
Because
as you said, John, there's no room for you anyways.
Yeah. But even if you could, as soon as they let me out, I'm coming back. Right? Now you can arrest me again. You can arrest me over and over again.
No, and that's not what I'm advocating. I'd just like to put you on a bus somewhere and let's take you, fly you. I don't care. I want to get you as far away from Fresno as I can get you so that if you want to come back, it takes some time before you can get back here.
I don't want to get on the bus. I'm not getting on the bus. I'm staying right here where you don't want me, and I don't care if you like it or not. I'm not getting on the bus. You can't make me get on the bus, and I guarantee you, any judge in California is not going to make me get on the
bus. If somebody can't persuade you to get on the bus to go somewhere else, they're not doing a good enough job then, John.
490-5858. We got some more questions, though.
We do.
But I'm basically asking, if we spend $4 billion and we can't figure out where the last $13 billion went, will we have a bigger or smaller problem 1 year from now? Okay.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We spent $20 billion over the course of 5 years. What do you think? Is the problem going to be better or worse?
See, my problem is I haven't seen anybody really come up with a solution that works yet. I mean, we know there are programs out there that work, like the Poverello House, things like that. But we haven't seen like a state program or a city program, because a lot of people don't want to go to those programs, right?
You know, Fresno's been doing this off-ramps program because, of course, all these people kind of set up along the sides of the freeways. I have seen an improvement driving home. The question is it sustainable? Right? Is it going to be sustainable? We've been doing it now since Mayor Dyer came into office January. We are 4 months about in here, and I see improvements. Talk to me in a year. Talk to me in 2 years. Are they going to move from the freeways to other parts of the city? Are we just kind of, is it like squeezing the balloon where the air just goes somewhere else? I don't know. I don't know.
Like I say, all this money floating around, if $4 billion a year for 5 years will do it, I'm in. But I just don't have faith that anybody really has the plan. We've spent $13 billion in California. Nobody knows where the money is. Throw in another $20 billion. Is anybody confident that it's going to work? That's the problem.
490-5858. Craig, you're on KMJ.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the call. Just a quick comment and a question. My question is, I didn't hear from the mayor yesterday in talking on your station. Is there any type of qualification for people that are homeless, such as just issues that you're having? Do they have to, you know, check off the boxes and say, oh, and then they say, oh, yes, you know, you qualify for this. That's number one. Number two, and just a comment, if someone has the attitude that they are going to, for lack of better words, relieve themselves on a city street or in public or in front of kids, I just can't see handing over a home to them, whatever type of home it is, because they're going to have that same attitude, I think.
Well, you know, there are remember the Smugglers
Inn?
We have the Smugglers Inn, and they qualified those people that they had to be people that they really thought could transition into housing.
Right.
You know, and I don't know exactly how they did that, but they had standards that these were people that really they thought could move, right? So I think that's all possible. But like when you look at Elaine Howell's report, nobody knows who's doing what. They don't know if there's duplication. They can't track the money. And so that's my question. Who's going to be in charge? Where do we go when we want to know what's going on? Who is it going to be, the mayor? Well, you know, the mayor's not going to do it himself. He's going to appoint somebody. It's like Joe Biden appointed Kamala Harris to the border. Well, would Kamala say, oh, no, I'm not the border. No, I'm you know, I'm the Northern Triangle. Right? So I mean, that's my question. Is there really going to be somebody somewhere that's accountable and have a goal that we can track and say, what was the goal? Did we meet it? Are they going to know? Those are kind of my questions.
HB, you're on KMJ.
Hey, give me all those billions of dollars, and I guarantee you I could solve this problem. But sorry to say, a good portion of that money would be budgeted to lawyers to fight the ACLU. And, hey, when we get to the point where we quit calling these people homeless, unsheltered, disenfranchised, underserved, or unfortunate, and start calling them bums, vagrants, and derelicts, you know, then maybe we could address the problem successfully. But, yeah, we need to get them off the streets. They should not have a right to do what they do. I mean, it's just filthy. You know, they were talking over here on the local station out of Santa Barbara about the problem on State Street. And it is so bad there that the homeless will actually masturbate on the sidewalks. And it's got to where people don't even want to come downtown anymore.
That's too bad. You know, Santa Barbara is such a beautiful city.
Such a beautiful city.
Last time I was there, I didn't see a lot on State Street, but they're down on the beach, you know, at the end of State Street where they have like lawn and stuff like that. So I guess they've migrated up State Street. And Santa Barbara is so beautiful, too.
Ever been to Portland?
I will not go to Portland anymore.
Yeah, we went to Portland like 5-6 years ago. That was the last time I'll be going there because it's like, you know, the shops close up for the day and the homeless come in and they settle in front of the stores. And that's, I mean, it's homeless center. And they've got a lot. It was shocking is a good term.
Got a couple more questions. You know, how much of this money is going to go to the administration of things? How much is going to go to actual housing? I guess they're going to build housing with this $4 billion, right?
Okay.
But they're going to have to administer this. How much goes for administration? Is there some limit we can put on that? 5%, 10%, 15%?
Mm-hmm.
Do I see anything like that in here? You know, this thing has a lot of questions.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Trying to dissect the latest homelessness plan in the state of California. 13 big city mayors came together with a BCM plan. It stands for Big City Mayors. And they want $4 billion a year for 5 years, $20 billion to try to solve this homelessness problem. And you know, Christine, with all the money floating around, I don't blame them for asking.
Right? Sure.
I just don't know that there is a plan to solve this problem because of the rules kind of made up by judges in this state. You just can't do anything. You know, the homeless have all the rights and you don't.
Yes.
And they can kind of do what they want. And if they don't want to do what you want them to do, it's just too bad. So, you know, if you go to San Francisco, they just laying around on the sidewalk. You got to step over them. You know, I mean, it's really kind of sad. And, you know, you walk by businesses in the morning and you can smell what?
Urine.
Exactly. So we, you know, here's the thing. You know what I'd like to see? If they're going to do this, I would like to see a website that has all the information on it. Like how many homelessness there are, how many we're currently servicing, how many are moving into housing, how much money we're spent, who's getting it, who are all these independent agencies getting money, how much of it is actually going to homelessness versus administration, how much is there a limit on administration costs, who's in charge of all of this? Who's the point person that you can blame when it doesn't or does work, or you can give credit to if it does work?
Right? Well, but do you need a website if you could just look around, John, and see for yourself whether it's working or not?
Well, I just like somewhere to go to see, okay, how much money did we spend this week, this month, today? You know, how many people did we help? You know, okay, so we helped 10 people. Did we reduce homelessness by 10, or did another 10 show up?
Can I remind you of something?
Sure.
The state spent $50 million on a vaccine website that doesn't work and is a waste of money. And now you want them to go create a website to document the homeless money being spent?
Well, there you go.
Do you see the irony that I'm talking about here?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just, be careful what you wish for.
Well, I'm saying,
it's a cautionary tale.
No, I'm not saying they can do it. I'm just saying, and I'd like somebody to be accountable for that too. You know, why doesn't the website work? Again, we're in the state of California. We've got all these high-tech companies, and we can't build a website. It's a mind-boggling.
You're talking about accountability and the state of California.
Hey, let me ask a question. This is a big question here. They're asking for $4 billion a year for 5 years.
Yes.
Now, remember, Gavin Newsom in San Francisco back in 2004 said, we will eliminate homelessness in 10 years. Did that happen?
No.
They spent hundreds of millions just in their city. Okay. And they couldn't do it. They got more homeless now than ever.
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of my model. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
But let me ask you this. After the 5 years at $4 million a year, will we end up with a permanent homelessness agency in the state of California that is funded every year by us taxpayers and never goes away and expands and gets bigger?
We already have a permanent homeless task force type thing already in the state of California. It's called the Homeless Coordinating and Financing Council.
That's reassuring.
They're permanent, and they're the ones that don't know where $13 billion went.
So now we want to give them 20.
Maybe. 490-5858.
Let me ask you one more question. Will they get it?
Yes.
Yeah. They'll get the $20
billion. Yes.
Okay. I think they will. Because there's so much money around there, and everybody wants to look like they're doing something.
Yes.
And in a year, will we even know what happened to the four? That's my question.
I honestly don't think we need a state agency on this. I think that you give it to the counties, hold the counties accountable, and see, or cities, whichever you want to do, hold them accountable and see what happens. I do not think we need a state agency looking over this stuff, because it's we're spending double money on it. So just give the money to the cities or the counties, put a person in charge of holding them accountable.
Okay, but is there going to be one person in charge of all these cities, or going to be one person in charge of each city? And who do they report to, and how do we get the information about what's working, what's not working? I'd like to know. Now, that's
sure.
going to cost money too.
That costs
money.
But that's
money we're spending if you get accurate information.
Right.
490-5858. Joe, you're on KMJ.
Hey, why don't you just come out and say it? It's another government program that they have money to throw against a wall and see what sticks, or see whose pocket it lines. I have a serious problem with them spending money foolishly when they have... They have a facility, and I'm sure you all know where it is, at Alcorn and 41.
Never going to work.
Called the Fresno County Honor Farm.
Never going to work.
Yeah, we've had this suggestion before. It's, you know...
You can't even get a guy to move off the freeway out of his tent.
Yeah.
Try to take him out to the Alcorn facility and make him live there.
Then why are you building them houses that they won't leave? They're going to build hundreds of however many houses for people to move into, and they don't know if they've got people that'll move into them.
Well, I think we do. I mean, look, I'll
give
them,
people will move into them.
I do think there are a portion of the homeless that want this.
Well, we know that there is because we can look at the numbers today. You know, 37% say yes. 47% say no.
Yeah.
So we know that around 40% will accept.
Yeah.
I don't know where the other, 10% is. There's 10% missing from that.
They're not the problem. You know, the people that really want help are not the problem. They go seek help, they get help, they move on.
Right.
It's the people that are out there that don't really want the help. And that's what I'm saying. When you say, what is the goal?
Right.
So is the goal to say, okay, we know there's about a third out there that want help, and that's our goal, is to help them, and the other 67% are still going to live out there.
Well, and then there's another thing that we haven't even touched on, and that is, John, that we're talking about a home for the homeless, but that probably doesn't really hit at and solve the root cause of what put them on the streets. And, you know, Matt Dildine over the Rescue Mission has talked about this before. You have to end up on the street, you have sustained some kind of significant trauma in your life that makes the street an option to live. Because at the end of the day, someone like you, someone like myself, someone like the callers on the air probably, the street is just not an option. You're going to go live on a friend's house couch. You're going to go call a family member. You are going to find a place to set up shop.
Like right? Nomad land.
Yeah, well, like, okay. But you're not going to end up on the street or on the side of the freeway in a tent. The person that ends up on the street or on the side of the freeway in a tent has sustained trauma, and there's a bigger issue at hand than just a roof over their head. And we're not even talking about that.
Yeah, maybe they are talking about that. I don't know.
Well, but we aren't.
I know.
What I mean is you and me aren't.
Yeah.
And the callers aren't.
Well, that's the thing.
There's
probably a lot of people who have given this a lot of thought, and they might be thinking about stuff like that. But when they ask me, do I want to spend $4 billion, I look at the past. And I say, I don't see results from money yet. We have San Francisco tried to solve their problem. It's worse. Had L.A. pass all these, like a billion a year in taxes, plus a mental health tax on a sales tax. And it's worse. It just seems like money makes it worse. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't help anybody. Like Gavin Newsom said, we helped a lot of people. We just didn't reduce the homeless population. As many as we took out, they came back in.
Right.
Other people came in. Jerry, you're on KMJ.
Hey, hello, good morning. I'm in the back of my shop. Hey, I'm pleased to get through to you guys. I've been listening to you since... believe it or not, Radio Trader.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Do you have anything to sell?
Well, you shouldn't ask that. Because I do. But I'm making a motorized kayak right now, so I'm having a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a couple of things I'd like to... The homeless thing, I got a, you know... kind of a ordinance that should be just enforced, and simple as this, is like you go by, you give them the green ticket and say, hey, you got 8 days to vacate. You know, society doesn't have to put up with your failings and your problems. We don't have to put up with that.
Okay, what if they don't? What if they don't?
Well, okay, then 8 days later, they come back, they're still there, they get a red ticket. And that red ticket gives them 3 days.
Okay.
And if after that 3-day period, you come back and they're still there, then you have to take civic action.
Like what?
Whatever the case may be.
What do you do?
Well, you'd have to remove them.
To where?
Physically, if necessary. Why not?
Where? What do you take?
Everything.
Them?
You take them somewhere else. Yeah. You say, hey,
okay, then tomorrow they come back. Do they start all over with your 8-day notice?
Well, then you go through the same process again, and then, of course, you escalate the punishment. Because there's got to be, society has to refrain this. That's all we have to do. We pay our police to police. What does that mean? When they tell you before, you police the parking lot, that means you go pick up the papers. You get everything, because we as a society, we don't want that. We don't.
No, Jerry, I sense your frustration. It's the same as mine. Don't we kind of do that now? Christina, isn't that what the homeless task force on the police do? They go and they move people. Don't they do that?
They kind of move them along. They clean up.
But if you're in front of my house, at least they get them in front of somebody else's house for a while, right? Then they might come back to my house. Then they move them again. And for a while, I don't have them, and somebody else does, and they move them around. But they say they have these quadrants in the city, and they go quadrant to quadrant and encounter the same people over and over again.
Yes, every day is a different quadrant.
Yeah, so I think they kind of do that now.
Although,
again,
didn't we dismantle the homeless task force? We did. We dismantled it.
We defunded. We defunded that?
Uh-huh.
Is that part of the defunding?
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody else is doing it instead of the police. Probably the same thing. Just don't call the police.
I'm unsure. I did see them, a crew, on 180 and Peach the other day.
Sherry, you're on KMJ.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I was talking to my daughter night before last, and she is with CPS, Child Protective Services. And she was telling me that they brought in, I don't know how many, but she said quite a few girls that had been brought in from Oregon and all underage, and they were being prostituted out of the motel rooms that the homeless had been put up in, along with drugs.
That's so sad.
How do they end up in the motel rooms that are for the homeless?
I would assume that the homeless have their Obama phones, and that's maybe what they're doing. I don't know.
They were trafficked.
Where they brought them in from. And yeah, they were trafficked. They were trafficked out of Oregon. And so that's kind of a sad situation.
That is. It's terrible.
Yeah, for sure.
So this...
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
So what does that mean? Does that mean the homeless are calling prostitutes, or running the ring?
It means that somebody is, a pimp, and they're using the hotel room. Yeah, to traffic.
Guised as a homeless person, but they're not really a homeless person?
Well, I don't know a ton about this, but, breaking the chains, I'm sure, could educate us on human trafficking.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We're talking about this homeless. Big city mayors asked the governor for $20 billion with a B over the next 5 years to permanently house the homeless. If it worked, I would spend that money and more. The problem is that just in February, Elaine Howell, our state auditor, came out with a report that said over the last 3 years, we don't know where $13 billion went for the homeless anyways. So why am I going to give you $20 billion more?
Here's my prediction, Christina.
Okay.
Why don't we just say $4 billion forever? Instead of pretending like it's going to be for 5 years.
But that's $4 billion a starting point.
I know.
Then they'll want four. It's like when you give a mouse a cookie, it's going to want a glass of milk, and then it's going to want a napkin, and then it's going to want a nap, and then
it's going to be more.
And then.
Let's just say it's $4 billion. It starts at four. It's going to go up every year forever. Okay. Let's just put it in the budget. It's there. And it's not going to go away. This is kind of like,
you want to tack a cola onto it, cost of living increase.
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's going to, does anybody think if we start, let's just admit it's going to be there forever. You think it's going to go up or down? It's never going to go down. It's going to go up.
Never.
So it's going to start at $4 billion. In 20 years, it'll be $40 billion. Or probably 10 years, it'll be $40 billion. Frank, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, I was just thinking, a lot of these, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to. A lot of these homeless people want to stay homeless.
They do. I agree.
Yeah, and this is what irks me, because I think those are the ones that they need to. Years ago, when you did something wrong, the judge would ship you to Santa Barbara, and he'd put you on a chain gang. And I think, if they catch people destroying public property by going to the bathroom in the streets and the sidewalks and whatnot, I think they ought to start a chain gang thing again. And until they get their
Frank, you put me on the chain gang. I just lay down. What are you going to do?
Well, then they stay on it longer.
Okay, I don't care where I'm laying down. I'm laying down in your property instead of over here with my tent I'm fine laying down on the ground. I'm not working. I'm not on any chain gang. I'm not doing that stuff. I'm homeless. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but see, you don't have any say-so on it.
Yes, I do. You can't make me get up. What are you going to do? Where are you going to take me? What are you going to do? Beat me? Shoot me? What are you going to do?
Then you load them into the police cars?
And go where?
Take them out, put them on the chain gang and say...
Okay, I'm not working on the chain gang. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing no chain gang.
You're not going to eat.
Then you're going to starve me now.
Well, think about this. Okay, the chain gang is ankles shackled to other people. You lay down, other people are going to walk on you and... I don't know.
You can't make, that's the problem. You can't make them do anything. That's what I'm saying. You're going to arrest them. They don't care. Take me to jail. I don't care. I'll be out tomorrow.
Right.
I'll take a shower. Well,
because this is my point. They're dealing with other things. So putting a roof over their head isn't the only solution. I know the mayor knows this. However, there's a lot of other things that need to be worked on with people as well. And until somebody's willing and wanting to, I don't know that you're going to have much success.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd just like to ship them somewhere else and make them someone else's problem.
The people who want help, they're going to get it, and they're going to be able to move on. But there are an element out there that don't want the help. They don't want to be housed. They want to be homeless, just like other caller says. I think that's true, isn't it? There's some people that just don't want help. They just want to be homeless.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Hey, we've been talking about this homeless situation in the state of California, which seems to just get worse and worse. And we were talking about the new plan by the big city mayors, including Mayor Jerry Dyer of Fresno, who have requested $4 billion a year for 5 years to solve this homelessness problem, which...
Well, to permanently house people that were displaced in 2020.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this and wondering if there is any solution that we can come up with. And we've got a call here from HB's, who is with the city of Fresno, involved in the homeless and housing problem. H, thank you very much for giving us a call. Appreciate it.
You bet, John. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
Have you been listening? And are you disappointed with us or what?
No, as it relates to homelessness, there's just a lot of urban myths out there and a lot of misinformation. And what we're really facing is a crisis in our community. It's actually multiple crises coming together. The math on homelessness is a broken mental health system, the most addictive substances ever created by human beings, opioid and meth, PTSD, domestic violence, and you could go on and on, family breakdown, and an incredible lack of affordable housing. Fresno had just recently the highest rental increase rates anywhere in the nation. Our market housing vacancy rate for rental housing is hovering between 1% and 2%. And the vacancy rate for studio apartments right now in Fresno, which are critical to see people from homelessness to shelter to transition to permanent housing, studio apartments, zero vacancy rate right now. So I think that to answer your question, you asked the exact right question, and that is there an answer? And the answer is building a continuum of housing options to get people from street to shelter to transitional to permanent housing and ultimately to home ownership. And that's what the mayor's doing.
Well, we know there's all kinds of different reasons for people to be on the street, right? They're not all the same. You mentioned a bunch of them just right now. So how do we set a goal?
Well, before we get to that, because I've got something that just like is in those lines too that kind of precedes a little bit, because John and I like to kind of talk in percentages. That's kind of the way that our brains work. And so you've got obviously a percentage of people who are left homeless by a housing crisis situation that makes it very unaffordable for them. And you've got a percentage of people who are in other circumstances, whether it's addiction, mental illness, and then you've got a percentage of people that just seems to choose to be on the streets too. What are those percentages? And also, what's the percentage that are willing to receive help versus those not willing to?
Christina, great question. I mean, the thought that there are large numbers of people living out on the streets that want to stay there, that are there by choice, is a false reality. And the reason I say that is because one of the jobs that Mayor Dyer has given to me, and to basically task a whole a network of organizations in our community with, is getting folks off of the highways. We mapped all of the folks on our highways, went to Caltrans and CHP, and they said, hey, we have cities demanding us to get people off the highways. Every day we turn them down. You guys have come with the most sophisticated, compassionate, thoughtful plan. We're going to say yes. They did say yes. And we now have gotten hundreds of people off of our highways. And you see the results out there. What we discovered during that is that if you reach out to folks, look them eyeball to eyeball, look them in the face, and offer them a real option to get off into a shelter with services, 73% of those folks accept your offer. So the idea of the large number of people out there on the streets choosing to be urban campers, there is a small percentage of those. But the folks that are out there, that are trapped out there, are there primarily because of mental health issues, addiction issues, some because of law enforcement issues. And that's a whole other thing that's feeding this, and that is the crisis that we have in our prison system and the inability to see people incarcerated. I mean, we've got folks out there who are a criminal element. We had, in order to be successful along that huge encampment along Highway 180 that's now gone, we had to first do a major law enforcement operation because there were folks in that area that were, there was prostitution, there was gambling, there were murders, there were guns. Fortunately, our homeless task force did the surveillance that was necessary to get in there, clean that up so that we could ultimately offer the remaining folks that had been held hostage by the criminal element a way off. So we're seeing high numbers of folks that when we have the services and when we have the housing and the shelter, take us up on that offer.
Okay, but you said, I think you said 73% accept your services. What about the other 27? Did they refuse? And that seems like a pretty big number.
It is a large number, and sometimes they refuse because they are still in the grip of those things that keep them on the street, whether it's addiction or mental health issues or whatever. And what do we do with those folks? What we do with them is we stay at them. And we have some incredible outreach workers with the Poverello House, with Kingsview, that are out there every day. I'm basically, this morning at 7 o'clock, I was at Poverello House meeting with CHP and our Caltrans folks and our outreach workers. We do this every day. And the goal is just absolute persistence, to take a segment, an encampment, and just go after it. And what we've discovered is that if you do that properly and legally, that and compassionately, people take services, and then those few that move on, you get them next week, and you get them next month, and you just stay with it. The challenge that we have is we simply do not have enough exits. We don't have enough affordable housing. So one of the things that we had the opportunity to do was to access $24 million through the Housing Authority to stand up 4 motels on Parkway Drive, to convert them very quickly, within 60 days, convert them to COVID shelters, and then to use them to get folks off of the streets and into these shelters. Now, the shelters are not like the old Will Smith movie In Pursuit of Happiness, where you show up at a shelter at 5:30 in the afternoon, pray for a bed. If you get a bed, you're kicked out at 6 a.m. and you have to do the whole thing. The shelters that we're doing are based on a best practice called a triage model. Those shelters, prior to COVID, we stood up several of these shelters in Fresno with the county, the continuum of care, and the city, and our partners working together, our community-based organizations. Those shelters, prior to COVID, were seeing a 65% exit rate, positive exit rate to safe housing within 90 days. So there are solutions. The challenge is, John and Christina, is that the numbers keep going up. We had a 69% increase in homelessness between 2019 and 2020. Now we're very positive that, I mean, with Mayor Dyer and Nathan Magzig on the Board of Supervisors and folks with our community-based organizations like Fresno Mission and Poverello House and Turning Point and others, we've formed a very unified front in addressing homelessness. We've got a by-name list that has the names of people rated by vulnerability that are on our streets, getting them into housing. The challenge is building that pipeline from street to shelter to triage to transition to affordable housing to owner-occupied housing. That's why the mayor is high on these motels, because for a relatively low cost, we can get rooms and beds online that can be used for shelter, that can be used for permanent housing going forward, and that's where we're headed.
You know, we just had a call. Did you hear that call before we put you on, about a woman who called and said her daughter works for CPS? Her daughter works for CPS, and they found underage women being prostituted, trafficked. In those motel rooms you're talking about. You know anything about that?
We've had one or two of those. Yeah. We've had one or two of those, and those people are either either asked to leave, or they are given the opportunity to stay and to stop that behavior. I mean, you know, we are talking about getting folks off the street that are subject to and involved in the most despicable types of enslavement, human trafficking, imaginable. And we're very aware of that, and we go after it. And we aren't going to keep somebody who has been trafficked from being in a hotel room, but we also aren't going to allow them to use that hotel room for any period of time to ply their trade, right? That's not going to happen. But those folks, there was a shift in how we address prostitution about 10 years ago, and the shift was to see those folks as being victims. And that's how we treat those individuals, is as victims. And we've had high success with getting many folks. For every one of those stories, there are 10 others where people have gotten off the streets, out of that prostitution cycle, and been able to relax and begin to think about getting into recovery and move through in groups like with the Fresno Mission, Breaking the Chains, and other groups that are assisting them. So yeah, we've had a couple of situations where there was prostitution going on. A person took what they were doing on the street, took it right into the motel, right off of the highway into the motel. But those folks are quickly identified, and those issues are addressed.
That's the voice of H. Spees, the Director of Housing and Homeless Services for the City of Fresno. There's another thing that I want to ask you about, and I know we've got to go to break here in a minute, but that is, we've received a lot of calls this morning, H, on vandalism to the rooms. Here we're spending money on these rooms. We're making over hotels. We're providing a roof over the head and housing for people. And that somebody may not respect that space that the taxpayers and the people of Fresno have given them to live in. How much of that are you seeing?
Not a lot. And that vandalism, and again, it's we, one of the things that is making our homeless strategy effective is that it's called low barrier shelter. And this is a bit controversial, because guess what? You can bring your pets, your partners, or your possessions, and you can come drunk or high into shelter. Why do we do that? Because we want to put that off-ramp from homelessness down to the very place where people are. And now you can't have drugs, you can't have alcohol, you can't vandalize, you can't do prostitution. But we dropped that ramp right down to where people are. And the result is that we're getting hundreds of people off of the streets. The challenge is that societally we're creating hundreds more. That the forces of addiction and just the evaporation of affordable housing in our community are creating situations. You mentioned earlier people involved with situational homelessness. One of the great things about Fresno is that somebody who, you know, a mom who has three jobs and two kids and loses her third job and can't pay the rent and is on the street, that individual, through a process called rapid rehousing, we're very effective at getting those individuals back into housing and back on their feet and supported. But, you know, I think what we're looking at is the question that you're really asking is, are the shelters that we're standing up a waste of taxpayer money? And I would just say no. They're a critical tool in a continuum that we're building that's making a huge difference on the streets. The challenge is that we need more, and we're going to get more because fortunately we have a mayor who is out there beating the drum and saying to the governor, hey, we want people off of our highways. Here's how we're going to do it.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We're talking about homelessness and housing in the city of Fresno. And H. Spees, the director of Housing and Homeless Initiatives for the city, has called in. And he's willing to take your call, so let's get to it. 490-5858, Mark, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, this could be a little interactive because I have a couple comments to make. You know, I have a sibling who's 10 years older than me who was, we think, diagnosed with bipolar, you know, 20 years ago. And everything he said that would apply to everyone who's homeless, in my opinion, is spot on. But there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. And I know they're looking at the housing. You know, and if you look at, okay, why is homelessness worse than maybe it was 30, 40 years ago? Well, things were probably handled 30, 40 years ago a bit extreme, right? You'd watch the movies. You'd see the asylums. They'd put people, you know, in the funny farm. And that definitely was inhumane, and that was definitely not a good solution, you know, but it was a one-size-fits-all solution back then. So to me, it's got to be something between a solution that works for all the different scenarios, because here's the situation. The homelessness itself, they have their own little economy, believe it or not. Just like when you watch movies when they're trading cigarettes in the prison cells, by creating housing for these people, people with those type of incapabilities, they're not going to take care of that housing. So it's going to be its own level of dysfunction. And in my opinion, all these funds that are being allocated for that, there's other reasons for that that no one's talking about. That is not the solution. Because if you create housing for people where it's borderline uncomfortable, then the people that are taking advantage of the system will not utilize it. They'll realize, I don't want to go live on that 100-acre slab of cement with a bunch of tents, which, if you're hearing me, that's the kind of solution I'm thinking about. Why not have a big area where you provide people good, clean tents? Sorry, you cannot pitch a tent out in the middle of a highway or an intersection. Can you pitch a tent in the middle of Fashion Fair Mall? What would happen if that happened? There's rules against that. Well, you should have the same type of rules anywhere out in public.
Hey, Mark, let's let...
Let's let H answer, because we do have to go to news here in a minute or so as well. So, H, do you have a response to that?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say, Mark, man, you know things that the average person doesn't know, because you've got a family member who's in the grip of a chronic mental illness, and I'm so sorry. And what I think the key thing that Mark said was the level of uncomfortability, and it's building a system. The shelters that we're putting together are not designed to give people housing forever. They're designed to get people off the streets and then to surround them with navigators with case managers that are pushing them, working with them, encouraging them, building relationship with them, speaking into their lives, and pushing them to that next, to a safe exit. That safe exit may be the rescue mission and a spiritual transformational process. That rescue, that safe exit may be a recovery home where they're working the 12 steps and they're finally getting a handle on their addiction. But these are places that are not designed to, in fact, we failed if we create cul-de-sacs instead of pipelines. That's why the mayor is focused so heavily on also creating new forms of housing. We're looking at tiny homes. We're looking at container homes. We're looking at buying more motels. And you know, we all know that public housing at $400,000 a unit is not going to cut it. That's why we're buying these motels, because at about $68,000 a unit, we can get these motel rooms up and going. We've got a reservoir of affordable housing. So, Mark, my heart goes out to you. He's absolutely right. It's not about creating cul-de-sacs and safe places for people to live in forever. It's about changing lives and giving people off-ramps, literally off-ramps into another life.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Started our conversation today about this homeless plan for the state of California. These 13 big city mayors came up with their BCM plan, the Big City Mayor Plan. And H. Spies is the Director of Housing and Homeless Services, City of Fresno. He gave us a call here, so we've held on to him so he can answer your questions. But H., do you mind if I ask you one question first before we take a call?
Go for it, John.
You're asking for $4 billion a year for 5 years. Is this just going to go on forever?
Well, I think there are some structural things that need to be addressed in order to stop the flow of people onto the streets. And that has to do with rebuilding the mental health system. That has to do with creating inventories of affordable housing and just general housing for folks, especially in California. So there are structural issues that have to be addressed. But I would just say this, that it's very important for your callers to understand that the mayor is not asking for these monies simply to warehouse people in old motels. The plan for the motels is to actually transform them into affordable housing so that we add to our long-term housing stock with studio apartments and one-bedroom apartments for folks to really deal with. Like I said, it's building a pipeline rather than the dead-end street of a shelter. And back to your earlier caller who just, and this is common, you know, let's create a big concrete slab and put 1,000 shelters out, a nice, neat tents out there. Well, guess what? Unless you staff that, those bathrooms are going to become brothels. Showers are going to become homeless shelters themselves. That takes a very thoughtful process. And actually, we have an example of a thoughtful response. It's the pallet shelters down at the Poverello House. For a relatively small amount of dollars, the POV has piloted a program of shelters that have heating and air conditioning. People have access to supervised bathrooms and showers. And it's, again, one of those off-ramps. But it's building a system. And so that those billions of dollars that the mayors are asking for are not simply to do the charitable thing relative to the homeless. It's talking about building a system that gets people off the streets and ultimately into permanent housing.
Let me ask this another way. We've got a certain number of homeless people in the state of California, whatever that is. If we spend $4 billion a year for 5 years, will we have more homeless people or fewer homeless people in 5 years?
Well, I would just say that I believe we'll have fewer homeless people, but we have to fix the multiple system breakdowns in other areas of our society. Homelessness is a symptom of a society that has huge challenges in it. And unless you start cranking off some of the the streams that are feeding the river of homelessness on our streets, we're gonna face this problem for a long, long time.
Okay, well, I think that answers the question. It's going to keep going.
Yeah,
it's not going to be just a 5-year yep. deal, right? Okay, back to the calls. Dave, you're on KMJ.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I live up in San Jose, but I've been listening to KMJ since the Pat Hill Bulldog days. The gentleman that, is it HB?
H. Spees.
H.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. I think he's really, really on top of it. Good ideas, passion, things make sense. The tragic flaw here I see, though, is the border. All the illegals that are coming into Fresno, Santa Clara County, nationwide, are a real problem. You know, we're talking about people that are untested, they haven't been vaccinated, and let's face it, it's going to have a tremendous a problem with our hospitals and our doctors alone. The education, getting young kids to go to our schools that not only can't speak English or write it, but can't write their own language, and there's a major problem in our schools. As far as the homeless go, it's going to be terrible even more, because in San Francisco, there's no vacancy on the sidewalks. I don't know where we're going to put all these people, how we're going to feed these people, how we're going to house them, house them. And what HB says is fantastic, but it's going to be an endless flood of homeless, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you've said a lot there, Dave. H, yeah. Is he on target?
I mean, I think on one level he is. I think that here's what our experience here is in Fresno, is that undocumented workers are not a major factor in the homeless stream. The folks that he's talking about that are in our communities that are undocumented are working. They are, and that, so that I would just not conjoin those issues. I would uncouple those issues, immigration from homelessness. Immigration is not a major factor contributing to homelessness.
If they're in the community and they're working, are they putting a squeeze on housing?
Well, they're paying for housing, and paying exorbitantly.
Yeah,
for
but I mean, but yeah. they're taking yeah. up space that isn't available for the homeless.
Well, I would just say that, you know, we could have a conversation about immigration and those issues. I think you're right, John. I mean, I think that, again, that's one of the multiple system breakdowns. If we instituted, I don't want to get political here, but George Bush had a plan for comprehensive immigration reform that had 7 points, including the border and a hard-earned path to citizenship and biometric ID and all that. If we had fixed that, the Cato Institute, which is a very conservative think tank, said that we would have had a $1 trillion influx in our economy. So that's a different story. And I'm just saying that in terms of a direct impact on homelessness, immigrants, you aren't finding immigrants in major numbers in the homeless stream.
That's interesting. I mean, why do you think that is?
I think there are hardworking people that are facing issues in their countries that are bigger than the issues that the obstacles in coming here. And so it's a global issue. And it's not that we definitely need to address the issue on our borders. But the fact is that most of those folks come here and get a job. And that like I said, that's a whole other issue. And I think there are strong systemic ways to address that. But in terms of homelessness, you aren't going to find a lot of people who are in the immigrant stream that are homeless. They are coming here. They are finding jobs. And now they may be that whole issue may be impacting the issue of affordable housing. On the other hand, Most people think that the issue of affordable housing is only going to be addressed when we do something big like the GI Bill or the VA loans and do something like that. There are huge systemic issues that we need to address. I think what Mayor Dyer is trying to do is just say, look, we got these gazillion dollars coming down in homelessness. Let's not use them just for relief. Let's leverage those short-term dollars for long-term development and capacity in our community. Let's not just flood the shelter end of the spectrum. Let's also build affordability and affordable housing, and that's where we're going.
All righty. Judy, you're on KMJ.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say that, you know, it would be great if you built them a house and they lived in it. But most homeless people don't want to follow rules. That's why they're homeless. It's not because they don't have a place to live or whatever. I have a relative that could go to someone's house and live, but they don't want to follow rules. And that's why they don't stay in the shelters, because there's rules there.
H?
I mean,
so Judy is touching on a huge factor. I mean, most of the homeless folks that we look at eyeball to eyeball have families, and they've burned out their families. They burn them out either because of their addiction or their mental illness or whatever. It's one heartbreaking story after another. The only way back is by building relationship, by helping folks build relationships that start with a shelter, that start with a meal, but then are moved into recovery programs, into job training programs, into rehabilitation. And we're seeing, we have some fabulous organizations, community-based organizations, not to mention churches, that are engaged in this and are seeing hundreds of folks move through that pipeline. We just need to see more of it. But Judy's right on target. I mean, we cannot as a community be using our scarce resources just to enable people to live irresponsibly. That's not what we do. And so when somebody is homeless and they're invading the space of a residential neighborhood, either on a park or next to a school or behind somebody's house or a business. I was just meeting with one of our top business leaders here in town who lost $200,000 because of a fire resulting from an individual who was irresponsibly living on the street near that facility. And we're having to do the hard job of law enforcement at the same time doing the compassionate work of getting people options and get them off the streets so that we can into safe places where they're moving through to a pathway and not stagnating in a shelter.
H, I want to thank you for your time this morning. I'm glad you called and straightened some things out. And are we going to be able to hold you or the mayor accountable for any of this?
Absolutely. Hold the mayor accountable.
H, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJnow.com.
You know, John, I had this thought as we were talking with H and I was, you know, kind of mulling over stuff. There will always be a percentage that will not want help of the population that like the lifestyle that they live and there's nothing we're going to do to change them. What percentage of that is acceptable
us? I think that's kind of part of trying to figure out what the goal here is.
Right.
Right. I mean, if there's certain people that don't want help, what can you do with them?
Now, H said 73% accept the offer of help in Fresno. That leaves us with 27%. And there's probably a percentage of that if you keep going back time and again, maybe you'll wear them down a bit, yeah. Right? So of that 27% number, what of that is acceptable?
Well, that, and I think that, again, it gets back to what is the goal? Okay, now, if, let's say 75% accept help, and let's say there's 2,000 homeless people. I don't know what the number is, but let's say, so that means 1,500 will accept help. So the goal should be 500 or left. That should be the goal. I mean, that should be the goal. But H says, no, we keep getting more people fed into the pipeline. So are we getting the same number fed into the pipeline, just going out of the pipeline? So is the goal to keep it the same? Only 2,000. So you haven't heard, what if we don't spend the $4 billion? Are we going to end up with 4,000 homeless people? And if we spend the $4 billion, it ends up being the same. I don't know. But those are things we need to know so we know what a goal is. So we know in a year or 4 years, did we hit it? Did we even come close?
Miguel, what do you think? You're on KMJ.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. How many points I want to say, but I think the major issue here, this problem exploded when we revoked, when we passed Proposition 57 and 47. A lot of these people used to be locked up in county jails and prisons by, you know, indecent exposure or committing a petty crime. Now they don't want to lock nobody up.
Well, so I think H.B.'s, he addressed that. He said that is, he didn't say how big that was, but he said that is part of the problem.
Yes.
I don't know what percent.
Oh, it's a huge problem. I've been a correctional for 14 years. My facility used to have 5,000 inmates. Now we have a little around 3,000. So we have empty cells. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, the problem is, I don't know. I'm you know, we are both pretty much like for locking people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
If they deserve it. So I think we should clean that up. We're all for cleaning that up. We've got this Sacramento County DA running for Attorney General of California. Maybe she can do something about this, I hope.
I hope.
It's just, you know, what people don't realize, I don't know what percentage it is, but a lot of percentages like gang members, you cannot save them. You know, unfortunately, that's, you got to face reality. It's a certain percentage we're not going to be able to fix, so if they break the law, they need to put it away, either a mental facility or a prison.
I'm with you. But, I, you know, here we are. Is it any coincidence that California is so loosey-goosey with all this stuff and also has the biggest homeless problem? Can we just blame it all on the weather? Or does it have something to do with the mismanagement of California, which has something to do with the recall,
In the game of percentages, John, what percentage do you think is the weather, and what percentage do you think is California?
I'm going to go like 80-20.
Okay,
I'll give the weather 20%, because if I'm in like Michigan, I probably want to get to California if I'm homeless. But I don't know really how much that is. You know, I've read studies that said most of the homeless problem are just people who are around where they're homeless. You know, they don't move large distances to go somewhere. There are homeless people in colder places, but it's not as easy.